record. This is the HES committee meeting. The chair is here. There's no quorum. We will not act, but we will take testimony and information from Dr. Romesburg on Senate Bill 210. Dr. Romesburg.
Thank you. I'm Kerry Romesburg, Director of Information on Folk Secondary Education. Senate Bill 210 really is a bill to provide a secondary market for guaranteed student loans, and those are federally guaranteed student loans. In the state of Alaska, we have a very, very small participation in the federal program. The banks that do loan under this program are a very small number of them, and the reason for that is largely the existence of the Alaska State Loan Program. To encourage the banks to make more of these loans, the state of Alaska would provide a secondary market through the bonding, a market to buy the paper from the banks once those loans are made. That's what this bill is intended to do. It had some urgency at the time it was introduced as a companion bill with Senate Bill 209, which the governor was intending to introduce first as a bill to cut the loans, the current loans, in half in terms of the borrowing amount. And if he did that, then he wanted to provide another avenue for the students instead of just cutting them off in school. That other avenue was intended to be the Federal Guaranteed Student Loan Program. Since the loan limits now remain at 6 and 7, the urgency of this type of a bill has been diminished greatly. The only thing I would say is that it probably would be a good idea to have something like this in place if the time arises when the legislature cannot fund the student loans and they do wish to encourage some other kind of a program.
Is it feasible that a person could have both a federal loan and a state loan?
Yes. However, most people, if they get a state loan, will be ineligible for the federal, but they can have both. In fact, 2 years ago when our state loan program was actually underwritten by the federal GSL, if the person got $3,000, they'd get $2,500 federally guaranteed and $500 from the state.
If you have a federal loan, would you be ineligible for a state loan?
No, the other way around.
I know that.
Yeah. No, not so.
Why would anybody want this if they could have a state loan?
I don't think they would.
Yes, I would like to say, as a student when I was in law school, I had both because I needed both for the cost of tuition.
They wouldn't want this in lieu of the state loan.
No, but sometimes you need both. It depends on the expense of tuition.
What's the maximum amount of loans under this program?
You can get $2,500 as an undergraduate and $5,000 as a graduate. You can only get a total indebtedness of $12,500 for this.
I'm going to go back to school, I think, and work on it.
The other thing this does, just in the first part here, we're talking
PhD
about
PhD in art history.
The other thing it does under Section 2 and 3 and so on, Section 2 and 4, I guess it is, they designate the commission by statute, or by this bill, as having statutory authority for being the guarantee agency. We are the guarantee agency. We've been so since 1968 or 9 under a governor's executive order, and this simply puts it in state statute.
But is there a fiscal note on this?
The fiscal note is zero right now because
it's a standby legislation.
That's right. That's all it is.
If we do this, are we encouraging a dismantling of the state student loan program because this is on the books?
I don't know. That's something that I guess you would have to decide. That, of course, was the intention to come in to give them another avenue. I would like to point out to the chairman that there is yet another way we can go with federal guaranteed student loans other than the bonding approach, which at some time the state may want to look at.
Which is what?
There's a group that's set up by the Fed. It's called the Student Loan Marketing Association. The acronym is Sallie Mae, like Fannie Mae. And under Sallie Mae, they will advance the money to our agency to go ahead and make the loans. And then they will pick them up immediately and process them, or handle all the servicing and take them from there. The reason they'll do that, instead of the state getting into bonding and all of that, is it's been the experience of the other states when they get into this kind of a bonding authority, they actually make a profit. Sallie Mae would like to have that profit instead of this kind of a bonding agency in the state, so they'd be willing to come in and advance us the money like a line of credit and just do it all. We wouldn't even have to get into bonding.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Okay, we'll wait for quorum on speeches. The other matter. Oh, Guy, did you want to speak on SB 26? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, my name is Guy Van Doren. professional assistant for Senator Ziegler and testifying on his behalf since he's at a resource committee meeting. Senate Bill 26 before you has this materials Good Samaritan Act is what we're calling it. The bill was requested by the Alaska State Firefighters Association and the Fire Chiefs Association. The handling of hazardous materials has become an art in itself. In many cases, the sooner the emergency is handled, the less danger to persons and property. Persons that have been trained in handling of hazardous materials who are outside the fire service are at times reluctant to provide those services and advice due to the possibility of legal liabilities. By enacting this legislation, which is similar to legislations enacted by 9 other states that I can find so far, including Virginia, Washington, and South Dakota, Alaska, the state of Alaska, will benefit from prompt, skilled action by people trained in hazardous materials emergencies. I'd be willing to answer any questions that the committee may have regarding this. However, Mr. Bob Hegg from the fire service is in the room and is probably more of an expert than I am on it. I will say that as an ex-fireman and having had some training in hazardous materials while as a professional fireman, even we ran into cases because of the toxicity of certain chemicals and certain handling changed so much that we were forced to rely on the calling of experts in the state of California and also here in Alaska. And at times, again, because of the liability problems, some of those people were reluctant to either offer advice or assistance to us unless they were assured that they would be protected under legal liability.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hay, we have your statement of May 2nd, which I've read, on the attachments. Do you have anything else that you wanted to add?
No, Mr. Chairman, I might mention to the attorneys at the time here. I'm in town, will be available for the committees or your staff if you want additional information. As I mentioned about 9 other states, we have on its way, it should have been here now, which has been mailed, copies of the so-called model hazardous materials which American Act and some of the other states have enacted. I think that, well, they're pretty much the same as this. Frankly, what is being done here is adding another section to the existing Alaska Good Samaritan Act, which covers only emergency situations of handling the person and not having the material.
This exemption would apply if you do it. If this was your line of business, you wouldn't be exempt, would you? I mean, if you were an international fire, you know, an oil well fire putter outer, and you're called into an emergency and you're negligent, you could still be liable because that's your business, I would think, wouldn't it?
That would be true there. Mr. Chairman, actually what this is doing is a situation we've had several times right here in Juneau where there was something of a hazardous material unknown to the people in the fire service. And we had to call an expert teacher. In fact, one instance calling in a high school chemistry teacher there on a sawmill fire. Without that expertise, some of the guys were getting smoke inhalation and everything else. We didn't know what was inside. And some of the people, as I pointed out now, particularly in Alaska, are becoming reluctant to offering advice to the fire service or any other emergency responders because of liability. And this would protect them, except there are some clauses in there that if they are negligent in their activities, they could be held.
Okay, so this really is the Samaritan volunteer. I think we've discovered that. Senator Halper is a co-sponsor. Good bill. It's a good bill. Okay, when we have a quorum, we'll move that.
Thank you.
Anything else? If not, we'll adjourn.